Now, as I preach today, expect healing. Expect deliverance. All right, I'll start reading here Galatians, it's in chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Glory to God. The gospel is good news. God preached some good news to Abraham. But what he preached to him at the situation or circumstances that Abraham was in at that time, there was no way in the natural that could come to pass. Here, Abram was 90 years old, 99 years old, and Sarah was hitting on 90. She had never had kids. Abraham had a child by his bondservant Hagar because, you know, he thought he was running out. Y'all pick up what I mean right by that thing. And so what happened was now he's past the age by which he could have children. And, you know, they didn't have some technology they have today. And so now God tells him he's not going to only have a child, but look up at the stars and look how many you're going to have. Now, if that don't mess with your mind, I don't know what to do. So here's what you can think about. The gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. The gospel is not reasonable. Over in Romans, if you put it up on the board for me, please. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And whenever you're going to live by faith, you have just left the realm of the five senses. If you're still in the five senses, you're not by faith. So how do you verify it? You verify it by faith. What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or proof of something you can't even see. Boy, that's good preaching right there. That'll hold you right there. So what I said down here in verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful, and I ask you to put in your Bible, believing Abraham. You got to believe something before you can actually see it. And that's just the opposite from the way we've been trained. We've been trained that, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to believe it when I see it. Matter of fact, we use an expression, I'm from Missouri, you got to show me. Am I right about it? And that's not the way the kingdom works, not the way you get the inheritance that God has for you, not the way that you receive the blessings that God has for you. You've got to believe it first, then you see it. Say amen to that. And believing is an action, see, it's a corresponding action of something. And a lot of times what happens is people really don't believe, because believing the gospel kind of puts you in a place where It makes some folk feel uncomfortable because they want to be accepted by everybody. They don't want anything to ever look like it might go wrong because people might laugh at them. Say amen to that. And might not accept them. So what you have to do is understand that if you believe something, you're going to act on it anyway. These people called the lepers, there were 10 lepers. And they were at the gate crying and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, leprosy was a contagious disease then, and it is now, in that they don't mix with the rest of the camp because it was time in Israel. If somebody had leprosy, they were put outside the camp. So it was at the gate. And so they couldn't come any closer because when people came close to them, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Terrible place to be. And so they had cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, this is all found in Luke chapter 17. "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, when did you go and show yourself to the priest? Normally, after you had healing in your body. The priest then would certify that you healed, do some ceremonial things, and then mix you in with the rest of the camp. But he was telling them to do something. He was telling them to go show themselves to the priest with the evidence that they had of faith. You're saying, don't wait for the outside evidence, because if you wait for that, then you're not in faith. Are y'all with me? So remember, God's word works from the inside out. That you first receive it with your spirit, and then it works its way out to your mind. And then it works itself out to your body. I wrote something down here that God does not bless beyond your mental capacity. Does not bless beyond your mental capacity. Why? Because he's not going to leave your mind out. He's not going to leave your will out. He doesn't violate your will. So with us, we got to understand that sometimes in the faith, they tell you to put your mind, you know, sit it on the shelf somewhere and just all spirit. No, it's not. Because God also wants your mind to be involved. So this comes through the consent of your mind out to your body and manifests out in your body. And nothing can stop its operation. It's an incorruptible seed. The word of God is God. Whatever God can do, his word can do. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. Satan's greatest weapon is ignorance. Is somebody here? Knowledge is where the adversary mounted his original attack. He told Eve, "God does know the day you eat of this, you'll be like God." Well, he got her in a place where she was ignorant. She was already like God. She was born innocent, just like we just had a little grandbaby born, and she was born innocent. She has got all the attributes in her. Maybe all the teeth ain't in yet and so forth. But the fact of it is she's in my class. She was born in my class. She's got now just got to mature. Are you following what I'm saying? Eve had all the equipment, brothers and sisters. Knowledge lies at the heart of the struggle, not only between two kingdoms, but for most believers. Knowledge. Just need some knowledge. Hosea didn't say, "My people are destroyed for the lack of money." He didn't say my people are destroyed for a lack of contacts down at City Hall. He said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, man. People are not poor because they don't have enough money. They are poor because they don't have enough knowledge. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Now, so what is happening? That you and I are in the last time, in the last season. I call it a season of the supernatural. And we are in a time where over in chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Over in John chapter 2, he says, you've saved the best for last. Come on now. Come on, help me now. I'm only saying that God has some truths. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, glory to God, I'm moving fast and you're saying amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he says, you've been established in present truth. That means it was some past truth. In other words, God is like a capsule opening up more and more as we go to the end of the age. So you and I ought to have better revelation because we have a greater work to do. God didn't say he's sending us to work for the kingdom. He's sending us to finish the work of the kingdom. So as we go into this, that's why I've been getting revelation on things like vengeance and recompense and all that kind of stuff. That means that nothing resisting you will go unpunished. Boy, that's good preaching. I'm preaching good. So now what are we saying here? That the modern church really has been kind of ignorant of the supernatural. Paul talked about, I would not have you ignorant, brother. There has been an epidemic of ignorance in the church. So we want to close the gap on that, praise God. So what are we talking about now? We're talking about increasing God's kingdom. And you can't increase the kingdom of God without knowledge. You need some revelation, not just information. We need revelation. People talking about, well, you know, Jesus wept. Well, why did he weep? Well, he wept because Lazarus had died. Well, wait a minute, he's going to raise him up. Oh, well, I don't know. He wept. That used to be the only Bible verse I knew. Sometimes we'd be at the dinner table. And Daddy would have us recite a Bible verse and get to me, Jesus wept. Okay, but anyway. Now, let's keep going here. You and I were born from God. We were born from a miracle God. And we have his divine nature in us. Glory to God. And now, as this has happened, we are really from another dimension. You and I. So Jesus was the sample son or pattern son. He would constantly say, because he is the Son of Man. Notice he didn't say, because I am the Son of God. You see that there. He always said, because I'm the Son of Man. He was fully God and fully man, but he left his Godhead ability aside. He put it aside and functioned as a man like Adam when Adam came into the earth. And that's why we call him the last Adam. That's why Paul refers to him that by revelation. Because he's going to show us how we are designed to operate. And we are designed to operate on another level. Oh, I'm preaching now. On another level. Another level of wisdom. Another level of knowledge. The Bible says over in Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. Could you put it up on the board, please? Praise God. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. He said, and all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times, the three Hebrews were 10 times better. Why? Because they were connected to God. See, their original names were not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the names that Babylon had given them. Their original names was, you know, but they, every one of their names was connected to God. My middle name is Samuel. That was a connection to God. It has to do with hearing from God. And it L means L, Elyon. L, you follow me? L. El Dorado, praise God, El. Now, so my point to you is all their names connected them to God. And notice the world tried to change their name to disconnect them from God. But they didn't lose their identity. Come on now. Come on now, somebody nickname you and they nickname you. You know how they call your names and so forth. And they nickname you and so forth. But that doesn't connect. You got to understand, you've got an identity that you've got to preserve, because you didn't come from here. Your first birth was here, but your next birth, once you're born again, you're born from above. You're born right out of God. God just duplicated himself when he had Adam. Are you following what I'm saying? So Jesus then ministered, and he ministered showing them that they have the same spiritual capacity that he has. He said, the things that I do, come on, shall you do too? He started getting on them because he's teaching the supernatural. See, if you want supernatural results, you got to teach supernatural things. And I'm through teaching the natural. I'm through just using the wisdom that we come from, that we get on the blackboard in school. I got to go above that, because the problems that we have today are created to be solved on another level. And that's my entree. That's when I step up and say, praise the Lord. What is it that you need? Now, in this, Jesus now is ministering and teaching them and ministering the supernatural and demonstrating to them the power that they have, that they can operate in. So now this identity piece. And identity is very, very key for you to be able to go where God wants you to go. Say amen to that. Amen. And it's in the mind. Because your spirit knows, but your mind has to be renewed to who you really are and what you can really do, because God is not going to put aside your mind. Your mind is going to be involved in that decision. Okay? Then you got to think like God. So I had a little story that I told service this morning. And this is about this eagle. And the eagle had a nest way up on the mountain and laid an egg. And then the eagle went somewhere and a wind blew, strong wind, and blew the egg out of the nest, and the egg rolled down the mountainside all the way into a chicken yard. And us. Old setting hen saw that egg. Are y'all with me so far? And sat on that egg. And she said, you know, this egg looks good. I'm going to sit on this. And soon the egg hatched, and out comes a little eagle. Eaglet, whatever you call it. It was not a chicken. And this eagle comes out, and all this eagle looks around and sees are what? Chicken. But the eagle was not a chicken. But all the eagle saw were chickens. Now just think about this. Now you've been born again in the midst of some chickens. No, y'all follow what I'm saying here? I'm talking about when you get born again, understand you have a whole new nature called righteousness. That's in you. That is powerful. It makes you a ruler. It that image of God is the thing that Satan stole that was most valuable to Adam, because it gave Adam the ability to hear God, or to fellowship with God, and to see the unseen. Now it's been restored to you, but your mind doesn't know it. So now here's this eaglet. Now, some chickens? My daddy had some chickens. And you know, every time I think about that, I tell you, I wanted to destroy them chickens. I don't know why he had them. I asked him to get a dog. A dog can't lay any eggs. I said, okay, all right. Well, you go feed them chickens. No, I didn't say that. But as we got home every day at 3 o'clock or 3:30, when we got home from school, the first thing I had to do was run feed the chickens. They were over at Mrs. Hutchinson's house. And I had to go feed those chickens. And my brother and I used to alternate. One day it'd be my day, and the next day his day, or one week, my week, and so forth. Well, evidently it was my week or something. And I said, hey, I can't spend my time running all the way over here. It's a walking distance, but it's quite a distance, but you had to walk, because, you know, and go feed them, come back. I said, I'm going to make it so that I don't have to go up here every day. So I'm just going to take the food, and I'm just going to pack this food up in that chicken yard, and they can just eat it when they get ready. Why do I have to come feed them? I packed enough food up to last probably for a year. I mean, I packed so much food up, Miss Hutchinson looked out, honey, what you do? I said, I'm feeding the chickens. Go on, I said, let me feed these chickens. No, you can't do chickens like that. Next thing I know, Daddy came, showed up about 2 days later, saw all this food, looked at the chickens, and they were leaning to the side. These chickens. Terrible situation. I think I got a whipping for that, but that's all right. I tried. So every time I tell this chicken story, I get something that'll come up. But anyway, so this eagle started growing. And he said, now listen, he said, he thought it was a chicken because he was around chickens and he identified with chickens. Now I'm saying the church is born in the world, but we are not of the world. We got something in us, around us, for us, operating through us that no natural man has. No natural person. So what happens? Your spirit knows that now. But your mind, he won't circumvent your mind. So what happens? Is you start growing, this eagle. He gets big, much bigger than chicken. Still pecking off the ground. Eagles don't even do that. Next thing you know, an eagle flies overhead. Spots this eagle way down there, because eagles have such, they call it eagle eye, they can spot a quarter at the length of a football field. I'm talking about what kind of sight you got back. I'm talking about the only reason you don't operate in this, because the mind has shut down to it. See? But you can see some stuff. I'm talking about stuff that can't be seen. So what happened? And that's another conversation, though. So here's this eagle flying overhead. He said, what is this eagle doing down there in that chicken yard walking around with those chickens? He said, I think I'll go down there. He pulls up beside him. He said, hey, my friend. Hey, what's up? You know, low ceiling. And he said, listen, what are you doing here? What do you mean, what am I doing here? He said, it's a chicken yard. I said, well, I'm a chicken. He said, oh, man, you're not a chicken. Don't tell me what I am, man. Now, people like that will fight you and argue with you to stay where they are. Got it? Now, you got to be patient with them and love them. But they can't see it. And because of it, they're being used. Now, what happens? Now, this eagle said, listen, I'm going to prove to you that you're not a chicken. I'm going to do that. He said, now, we're going to run and we're going to fly over this fence. Chicken fence. I don't know whether you ever seen chicken wire. Chicken wire is not heavy like wire for cattle and all of that. It's not, it's easy. You can just push on it and so forth. But chickens ain't got that much sense. You just push on it. I'm telling you, boy, when I got a piece of chicken today, I bite hard on that thing. Mess with me when I was young. But what happened was, let me finish the story here now. So he was going to run and run and fly. So the chicken ran with it, the eagle ran with him and he took off and the eagle hit the fence. Boom. I told you I was a chicken. Those things confirm in his mind that he's a chicken. You got what I'm saying? So he stayed there, the story ends where he went to chicken school and got a chicken job, bought some chicken clothes. Come on now. Had a chicken job, got a chicken paycheck, had a chicken retirement party, died and had a chicken burial and went to chicken heaven, I guess. So my point to you is, that's a sad situation to die in. Watch this. When God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Not just in money, in wisdom, in joy, in peace, in love. All of that's yours. It's piled on you. Got it? Now, what blocks us is our thinking. And God won't violate it. Here's an elephant when he's young. They put a rope around him, tied him to a stake, and so forth. And then when he gets old, they don't even have that big rope anymore. They put a very small rope. And that very small rope, once that big elephant feels that tug, they won't fight anymore. They'll stop. And the same thing about people. Once they feel a little resistance, they stop right there. They don't fight anymore when they're able to own one of the biggest buildings downtown Chicago. That's what's inside of you. Now, what we talked about is some of the redemptive parts or packages that are available for you as a believer that the world doesn't have. And we started with talking about praise. You remember that? All right. Let's deal with that. Praise God. All right, glory to God. Let me just see where I am here. All right, praise. Now, one of the main things about praise is found in Habakkuk chapter 3. Now, have you turned to this, or should I have you forget it and just put it up on the screen and they turn to it? Because I've got to get out of here by 2:30. And I don't know how long it's going to take you to get this. All right. Look what it says in Habakkuk chapter 3. All right. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Let's look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit tree be in the vines, the labor of olive tree fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will what? Joy in the Lord, thy God, of my what? Salvation. The Lord God is my who? Strength. And he will make my feet like what? Hinds feet. And he will make me to walk upon my what? High places to the chief singer on my strings instrument. What am I saying about that? I'm saying that God's ability will cause you to be lifted out of every situation that you might be involved in. And what I said, it's like a child lifting up their hands, a little baby, to the adult, and it signifies, lift me up. And the same thing happens when you praise. When you lift up your hands and praise him, then, glory to God, then God can lift you up. Now, somebody says, well, I don't have to lift up my hands. Okay, you don't have to lift up your hands, but that does help. I can prove it. I can prove it by going over to Moses, and Moses, his people were fighting a war, and when he lifted up his hands, they won. And when he put his hands down, they start losing. So he couldn't keep his hands up because he was getting tired. So he had two of his assistants, one prop his hands up, and they won the battle. So there is something involved in lifting up holy hands. Say amen to that. Now, let's look at Psalm 113, please. Psalm 113, glory to God. Psalm 113. I told you healing is going forth right now. Look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at verse 7. He raises up the who? Poor out of the what? Dust. Keep going. He lifteth the needy, keep going, out of the dunghill, that he may set them with the princes, even the princes of his people. Glory to God. So God, praise is your way of staying on top. That the more you praise, the more he raises. Now, you see, to the natural mind, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, that's foolish. They're trying to figure out, why would you be in a bad situation like that and think that you can just praise God and something will happen? Well, you got to know that praise releases the power of God, and praise will cause God to come in on your behalf and deliver you. So it's time for God's people to praise. Now, the Bible also says that when we do praise, Lord have mercy. I got you here somewhere. I got a lot of stuff on praise. I've got to watch my clock because I got somewhere to go. You have been created as a people of praise. That God, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And Judah means what? It means praise. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, or Judah and praise. So you've been cut out of his mold, so you are a people of praise. Say, I'm a person of praise. Now also in this, praise guarantees a struggle-free life. I said, praise guarantees you a struggle-free life. Now, what does praise do? Let's go over to 2 Chronicles and chapter 20, please. What does praise do? Glory to God. Oh, Lord. Come on, y'all gonna have to go with me pretty quickly now because I taught some of this last time. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter, what did I say? 20, all right? Now, this is when Jehoshaphat had come into a battle that he knew he couldn't win naturally. Look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask what? Help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they knew they were in trouble. Now, this is an impossible situation. And your human impossibilities are God's opportunities. Look at verse 12. Oh, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come against us. Neither know we what to do. Underline, neither know we what to do. So here's what you do when you don't know what to do. You start praising God, I'm telling you. Now, God always has a way for you to escape. Can you just take that scripture, please, and keep it there? But if you could just flip over to 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians again, and chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But chapter 13, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation. Now, the word temptation in the Greek is test or trial. There is no temptation, test, or trial taken you, but such as common to man. In other words, the devil has tried the same trick on somebody else. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be what? Tempted, tested, or tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation, come on, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to endure it or bear it. Now, isn't this interesting? Put it up there in the Amplified. Can you do that, please? Put it up there in the Amplified translation. Look what it says in the Amplified translation. Lord have mercy. Man. Tell you what. We'll save that for next time. Praise the Lord. That's a lot up there. I didn't know it was that much. And they're trying to put it all on one slide, and that's okay. And it's hard to read it from here because you're getting a side view. You can't see it head on. But anyway. Okay, yeah, you give me the Amplified there. Praise God. Let me just read it. Okay, all right. Okay. Go hard. That's all. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But will with the temptation, he will always, boy, that's good, also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Glory to God. That's a long piece here. All right, let's look back at 2 Chronicles again, chapter 20. And look here. You're going to have to give me just a few more minutes. Can you do that? Verse 12. Our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid of this or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours, but whose? God. One of the biggest reasons for praise is that praise transfers the battle from your hand to God's hand. Praise transfers the battle from your hand to God's hand. He says something in Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 41, if you'll just turn over there with me real quick. If you can't find it, just look on the board. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. Keep going. They shall walk and not faint. Now, what is it saying here? Wait. Wait doesn't mean sitting down waiting. It means to exchange your strength for his strength. Switch him over. You take his strength and give him yours. Paul said, when I was weak, then was I strong. So sometimes you got to admit you can't do it in your own nature. And then turn it over to God and let God take up from there. Say amen to that. Amen. Let's see what happens when you do praise. Let's go to Psalm 22, please. When you do praise. Now understand, all of this is foolish to the people who don't know God, because they have no idea the supernatural weapons that you and I have that we can use on our behalf to get us out of a bad situation. Look at Psalm 22 and verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the what? Praises of Israel. Now, this is interesting because God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God shows up, something happens. Turn to Psalm chapter 114, please. Psalm chapter 114. Over in Psalm chapter 114, look what it says. And he says it in verse 7. Tremble, thou earth, come on, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Well, where do you see that? I can tell you where you see it. You see it over here when God showed up at that time where the children of Israel were out there in the wilderness. And also you see it another time in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16. Let's go over there real quick, please. Acts chapter 16. Now, when you're at a crossroads and you don't know what to do, go into high praises. And I tell you, God will show up again. And he'll show you exactly, say amen, what to do. Now, this is supernatural for you. That's why the people who don't know God don't know a way out. But Psalm 16 and 11 says God will show you the path. So God will show you things that other people don't even know. Look what it says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Now, this is when Paul and Silas, who were holy men, were locked up in prison. They put them up because Paul and Silas had cast out a demon spirit. And that demon spirit was one of divination. It's one of fortune-telling spirit. And so they had cast his spirit out, and the fortune-telling person lost their ability to tell fortunes because the demon spirit was, of course, the spiritual agency behind helping this. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas start fussing with one another. No, they didn't. At midnight, Paul and Silas begin to cry and to begin to blame God for the situation they're in. No, when you do that, you don't get delivered, because deliverance from this comes from joy and praise. So notice what happened. They prayed and sang what? Praises unto God. Now, what would prayer do? It'll send angels. But what does praise do? It sends God. God comes himself. And suddenly there was a great what? Earthquake. The same thing that we just read about that the presence of God brings. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Even the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." You see, when you got God on your side, you don't have to run from nobody. Then he called for the light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. So they saved him and baptized him that same night. So what am I saying? At your midnight, you can let go some praise. Start praising God. Oh, angels may come before when you pray, but let me tell you, when you start praising, something's about to happen. I'm talking about right now. I saw where angels were kind of held up in Daniel's case, and they were held up for 21 days in Daniel chapter 10 because there was a war in the heavens. Satan was trying to stop God's angels from getting to Daniel. However, the archangel Michael came and broke through. But I'm telling you, you can break through the first day. Start praising God. Watch the earth start trembling. Glory to God. And watch God come on the scene on your behalf. Say amen to that. Amen. Now also, Elisha, they needed a word from the prophet. And the prophet needed to give them a word, Jehoshaphat a word, as to what he should do. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3, please. 2 Kings chapter 3. Am I taking too long with this? 2 Kings chapter 3. See, I'm teaching you now that you've got all this at your disposal. Well, why isn't the church using it? And I say it's because of the ignorance and unbelief that has been in the church. But those days are over now. I'm talking about we're about to manifest something now that, glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now in 2 Kings chapter 3 again, verse 11, But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servant answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So they go to the man of God. They begin to inquire to the man of God what they should do. Look at verse 15. But now bring me a minstrel. This is the man of God calling. He's saying, bring me somebody who can play something. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. In other words, he told him the way to escape. So I'm saying to you, don't try to get here after praise and worship. Try to get here during praise and worship. Why? Because the minstrel is playing, and he's playing under the anointing so that the praise can go up and answers can come down. I'm talking about answers as to what you should do about that mortgage. Answers as to how you should settle that business deal. Answers as to what medication you shouldn't be taking and should. I'm talking about answers. God has got them for you right now. I remember my wife and I were down in Tulsa. I was going to a full-time seminary and I'm down in Tulsa and things were just slowed up to a trickle. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, baby, I said, man, the things ain't happening right and so forth. And this is what she had the nerve to say. She said, why don't we just praise God? I said, I ain't praising God now. Well, that's because I had no revelation of praise. Man, that was the best thing I could have done. I should have stepped back and praised him for about an hour and just gave him praise and thank him for everything he's done for me and how he brought me out and how he saved my soul and how he healed my body. Folks, they were marching around a place called Jericho. And God said, on the seventh day, you march around that seven times. But after you've marched around that Jericho wall, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna shout. And if you look that up, it's a shout of praise. You see, they didn't have any missiles. They didn't have any air support. Only thing they had was praise in their lips. The Bible says when they praised God and shouted and the trumpet sounded, the walls fell down flat. Somebody said, that doesn't mean the walls just fell down like that. It means that the angels drove the walls down into the ground. Flat. Folks, it's power in praise. If you're depressed, you start praising. Come on. If you're short on money, you start praising. If your daughter or son is somewhere that they shouldn't be, you start praising. Now, sit down for just a minute. Almost done. Glory to God. Now, there's a whole lot more on praise. If the Lord leads, I'll teach some more on it. But these are secrets behind praise. It's a very, very powerful thing. And God honors praise. Now, in this, I'd like you to know, glory to God, that there's one more thing. If I can just give you this one more thing. It got you fired up, okay. That's praise. Now think of some of the other things that are benefits that the church has almost forgotten. Now we went to oil already. And we showed you where oil can be put on the sick. And God will heal the sick. How many believers I got in here now? Now remember what I said. The modern church has been ignorant of the supernatural. And do you realize that people are looking for the supernatural? Do you realize that there's something inside of all of us that knows that there's a realm that is not natural. It's a realm. That's why the occult are making so much money on movies today. That's why, because people know that there's a way that things can happen that's on a higher level. Say amen to that. So what I'm saying is I begin to look at some of the things that were had, such as the blessing. Now I know that many times you haven't studied the blessing. But if you look at Revelation chapter 5, this is a new one for you upstairs, and it talks about some of these redemptive benefits. It's saying in verse 12, Revelation 5 and 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and, come on, riches and what? Wisdom and what? Strength and what? Honor and what? Glory and what? Blessing. Now remember, whatever Jesus received, you receive. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, supernatural faith. You've got faith. You've got wisdom. You've been given understanding. I'm not talking about understanding like man understands. I'm talking about another level of understanding. You've been given the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. You've been given the anointing. The anointing by itself will remove burdens and destroy every yoke. You've been given the blood of Jesus. You've been given the Word of God, which comes with virtue, by the way. Anywhere you plant the Word, it'll do whatever it said by itself. Y'all don't sound too happy about it, but I'm gonna keep reading anyway. You've been given praise. You've been given revelation. You've been even given angels. Say, I have angels with me now. You've been given favor. Now, you know favor ain't fair. Now, what is favor? Favor is God working on your behalf, even though you may not even deserve it. Favor will give you supernatural increase, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, battles won to which you didn't have to fight, and a front row seat when you come in late. I'm talking about what favor will do. But notice the favor I'm talking about. I'm talking about divine favor. Remember what he told Mary. Mary, thou art highly favored among women. Notice the life of Jesus. He said over there that Jesus grew in wisdom and favor with both God and man. So you not only have one level of favor, if you keep being favorable, he'll raise you to another level of favor. Favor will make doors open for you which have been shut to you. Favor will make people give you that job when they can't stand you. Look, Joseph had favor. And when he had favor, notice how Potiphar's house prospered because the favor was on this man. And they put him in prison and accused him falsely of some kind of sexual harassment. But he didn't go down there grumbling and complaining. He went down there praising God. And then God lifted him back up. And he became second in command to Pharaoh because he had favor with God. I'm talking about if they do you wrong, God will lift you up because your promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. Your promotion comes from God. He is not only your source, he is your only source. And the favor that comes from God, it works that you don't have to owe any human being even a thank you because they didn't do it. They may despise you, may not like you, don't even like the way you look, don't like the way you talk, don't like your background, your pedigree, but they got to get out of the way because the divine favor of God is on your life. Say amen to that. So I'm saying that God preached the gospel to Abraham. And I told you that the gospel is something that is foolishness to the natural mind. I was preaching in Africa. God made a comment to me. He said, tell the people this, that they can be a millionaire in a month. I said, whoa. Now, I know when I say that, sometimes people look at me as if I just crawl out from under a bus. But I'm here to tell you right now, if this same God can split a Red Sea, come on now, if this same God can pull down the walls of Jericho, if this same God can raise up a woman named Esther that can set the whole nation free, if this same God can come in and people been dead 4 days and stinking, God can put them back together, raise them back up. This same God can feed 20,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. This same God can pull in ships of fish when no fish are out there. This same God can take you and save you. This same God can make you a millionaire in a month.
The Bible says, and when this was spoken, all this that was impossible, that Abraham's going to have all these kids, and he was beyond the age of having children, Abraham believed God. I just read you the scripture in 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. If you believe his prophet, you will prosper. I told you, God told me to tell you that you can be a millionaire in 1 month. Now, here's what you don't do. Don't be trying to figure out how God is going to do this. You don't care how he's going to do it. He'll do it whichever way he wants to do it. I saw him in 2 Kings chapter 7.
The prophet got up and said, tomorrow, about this time, every one of you gonna be rich and you're gonna have plenty. This is the people who are so economically deprived until they were boiling infants and eating them. I'm saying there was no hope in the camp, but one word from God, if you will believe what he said, I didn't say it, see it, didn't believe it. I said, believe it so you will see it. The Bible says a man ran to the prophet and said, listen, if God would open up windows of heaven and pour out things, no way things can change in these people's lives that quickly. I told you, one of the benefits is the fact that you got faith. And faith overrides time. So you don't need the time that the world needs. The world needs 10 years to make a million, but you can make it in a month. Why? Because of the supernatural. Everything in that realm is more powerful than the realm the natural man is in. One of the ways God's going to distinguish you is by what he's going to do with you. The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that you may see, they may see his good works, your good works, and glorify the Father. This is your season. I said, this is your season. Now listen. How many of y'all believe the prophet? I'm going to speak it on internet out there. I'm going to speak it. I'm speaking it. If you take it and believe it, virtue comes with it. Say amen to this. So I don't care what anybody says about me. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Remember what I said now. Ignorance and unbelief are almost epidemic in the church. And if the enemy can keep you struggling with the cursed, fear-based system, slow system of the world, he'll keep you right there. Remember, he needs time to work. You can override time with a higher law called faith. Say amen to that. Did you get something out of it today? Come on, stand up. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise and make the transfer.